vroom, vroom. And then train noise. Chugga, 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 chugga.
Is this movie, is this episode going to make us watch an hour of trains?
Another train. Why do they keep talking about trains?
Yeah, they're cut back to, this would be in a comic book. I'd put a little asterisk that said, check issue number 63, where Andy and them got so high, they just put on a train video and just fucking watched 20 minutes of actual train. That's our podcast, by the way.
What's the episode where we had to watch Singularity, so we talked about trains instead.
There we go. And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fried Rice Podcast, the only podcast where you can get fried with me, Andy Rice, your host, I think. Hopefully. With me, as always, it's my good friend Brennan. Shipley up to Boston.
Remember to trust your news sources.
It's not gonna, no one's gonna know. That's gonna pay off in December, folks. Brennan doesn't know. When our filming schedule works. So
it's more for me than anyone else.
If he listens to this, and he gets a kick at his little Easter eggs he leaves for himself in the future. With me as always, it is Michael. I think if you and I ended up on a road trip together, at least half of the shenanigans that went down with these two would go down with us. You would, of course, gray-haired, straight and me being just a fat piece of shit ruining everything. Larson!
Hey, everybody.
Would you be the one taking your socks off?
No, well, okay.
I can't imagine that.
I can't either, not at all.
Okay, since I'm glad you brought that up. So first off, I've been on a plane where a dude next to me took his shoes off. And it was gross. And it was taking
the shoes off, as long as you're not bringing your feet up and touching your feet, like, okay, keep your feet down there. The plane is well ventilated enough to where I'm not going to smell your feet. But if you're sitting there playing with your feet, taking your socks off next to me, yeah, that's gross.
Now, last night, I went and saw Venom, The Last Dance. And I was in the, I was at the theaters. And I hear, like, a little clicking noise, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I'm trying to, like, so I'm just kind of casually looking around. And I look, and right in front of me, to the right, in between the little fucking gap in the seats, I see a woman cutting her fucking nails. Her fingernails.
In the movie theater?
At the movie theater, just a little light, she's just in the light, just clipping her fucking nails. In broad view of just anybody. It was packed. I mean, everyone was there.
Why?
I don't know. I pointed it out to my dad. He almost threw up. He saw it. He's like, oh, what the fuck? He had to stop eating popcorn for a second. He's like, that's gross, dude. I'm like, that's the most disgusting. I'm sorry if you're listening.
Well, it's regular fingernails, not toenails.
Still.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's weird, unhinged behavior.
Yeah, but sometimes you use a fingernail clipper, you clip it, and it'll fly.
Yeah.
So somebody's popcorn. Somebody was eating some fingernails.
Oh, that's gross. Who was in the splash zone? Were you?
No, I was behind.
Well, sometimes they fly backwards.
No, I was up and behind.
They go up and up behind. Up and back. Up
and to the right.
There was that one little bit of gristle I couldn't quite chew down. The cherry on the sundae for this kind of a shitty movie experience. Movie was great. My dad had a good night and I had a good time, but they didn't play the previews.
What?
Literally, the movie's supposed to start at 6:45, kept us sitting there until 7:05, and then they started Venom. What the fuck? They just kept us.
What theater were you at?
The Riverside.
That's weird.
They do previews normally, but we're sitting there, and I'm looking at my 6:55 comes around.
Main reason I go to the movies.
Yeah.
Did I mess up the time of this? And eventually two people got, I was about to get up, then I saw people getting up and going, and they, one guy came back and he said, loudly enough for me to hear, I think to his wife who was cutting her nails, he was just like, he's like, yeah, they're just not playing the previews. The movie will just start when the previews are supposed to end. I'm like, okay, well, couldn't you just play the movie then?
Yeah.
Give us like play it 10 minutes early.
Yeah. Play it on time.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, isn't that kind of a good thing? Because you don't like seeing the trailers.
You don't like previews.
Yeah.
I don't like previews.
Yeah.
Is it a good thing? No. Because I sat for 25 minutes doing
You didn't have a conversation with your dad?
Yeah, we looked at YouTube videos, but here's the problem with movie theater conversations. It's quiet. So you can't have a personal conversation.
That's true.
You have to have a very vague, how's the weather? Let's talk, not politics. Let's not get
small
into it
talk.
Right now.
Yeah.
Small talk, but, you know.
If you're with your dad, there's not, you know. You're not.
Yeah.
And so we were looking at, I showed him Mudang, the baby hippo, and I, you know, but still, what a weird experience.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get into the movie. Sorry. This is a regular episode. This isn't
yeah.
What are we smoking? I have Fadeco. It's the free stuff you get from Story Cannabis when you spend over X amount of dollars. They give you some Fadeco Premium Indoor. I don't know.
There's a reason it's free?
Yeah, it's fine.
I still have an eighth of that I haven't opened that I want to turn into butter.
Yeah, that's what you... I might turn some of this into butter. This is Velvet Pie.
Do you guys actually know how to do that? There's no special.
It's called Google.
Pretty much melt it.
ChatGPT.
I mean, so like you want to decarbonate the weed, so you like kind of want to put your flour in the oven at a low temperature for like 20-30 minutes, kind of burn off like outside layers that are kind of bad for it. Break it down and then obviously melt your butter down in a double boiler, and then drop your flour in there, let it kind of simmer for an hour or two. And then after that, then you just strain it out with a cheesecloth and let it solidify. Nice. And I mean, if you want to get fancier with it while it's still liquid, you could skim off the top layer and then you have clarified butter.
Oh. Well, what's the difference between clarified?
It just takes out like the bad fatties, fats and stuff like that.
Yeah, it takes the fats off.
Yeah,
like,
it's what,
like the butter you dip your lobster when you go to the...
It's clarified butter.
It's clarified butter. They just take... They melt it and then all the stuff that flows to the top, they skim off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's just pretty good.
Clarified butter or ghee is what it's called.
Ghee. And is that Indian?
Indian.
All right, very cool.
Yeah.
That's what I brought. And then your sounds interesting.
Yeah, I brought Zanna is the brand, and it is cereal milk. And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I've been liking it. I do like that they do have their whole terpene profiles on the jar, even though I don't really understand what it means, but it's still kind of cool to see that.
Yeah.
32% THC.
Let's look at these terpenes. Yeah, we've got, of course, you got to have your 1.3 milligrams of myrcene, 2.8 of lilalool, sounds fake, 3.4 of limonene.
I think they made up all these words.
They probably did.
Well, limonene sounds...
legit. Someone let us know in the comments.
Yeah. This is cookies times cherry pie times snowman, or crossed with. Cookies crossed with cherry pie crossed with snowman. I don't think you actually times it, but.
That's good. It's almost got like a creamy taste to it, too, so it's kind of interesting. Call it cereal milk and have it kind of taste kind of like cereal.
Yeah, no, that's great. I like milky kind of flavors. Things.
I like cereal milk.
Yeah.
I went to, when I was first started vaping, like the tobacco vape, I was looking for flavors, and I remember some dude looked down on me because I was like, I asked the guy, the little bud tender, the vape guy. I was like, I'm looking for something desserty, you know, like creamy, like milky or whatever. He's like, oh yeah, cool, we got some of those. But then some guy next to me is like, okay, did you just start? And I was like, what do you mean? Did you just start vaping? I was like, well, yeah, sort of. He's like, yeah, everyone who just starts like the dessert flavors. I think once you've been vaping for a while, you like harder, more fruity, sour flavors.
His voice sounded like that, too, because he's been vaping so long, he can't talk anymore.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just take this creamy cereal milk, fruity pebbles one, please. And I walked, yeah.
I never went back. Never
I
stopped.
I didn't go back there.
No.
Because that dude was like...
a douche.
Oh, I like to hang out here, man. Like, he had, like, a little seat, and he would just vape at the seat and hang out with the other dude.
There's a weird culture for sure
in the
start of the vaping industry.
Well, and it's like that giant store they built down in town.
Yeah,
what
the fuck? It's got to be money laundering.
I was thinking it's got to be. Yeah. How many people are going in that store and buying those?
Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, you don't have a vape store as big as the vape store we have here in our town. Someone took what probably was a Kmart.
Furniture store.
Oh, a furniture store.
It was a furniture store.
And turned a furniture store, ladies and gentlemen, and turned it into a vape empire.
Do they sell glass there too, or is it just vape stuff?
It's just vape.
It's just vape stuff?
Just vape stuff.
All the juices that could ever exist, I think, in one room.
Are they like manufacturing it there?
No, I mean, maybe. I went to a place once, and they're like, all right, what flavor do you like? And I was like, okay, this one. It's like, what milligram do you want? I was like, okay, I'll do the 1 milligram, 2, whatever it was. They just took it, pulled out a little syringe of nicotine, and just dropped it in there and stirred it up. I was like.
That's my buddy made his own for a while. Because you could just buy all the different, the PG and the VG stuff and mix it all together. And then the nicotine as well. The only thing about the nicotine is extremely
poisonous.
Yeah, corrosive. So you had to be very careful when dealing with nicotine in general, because it could be corrosive.
You know what? I mean, this was high school, so I think I can admit to it. But I like swiped a bottle of nicotine out of my science teacher's lab, a little bottle.
Yeah.
I never used it. I was, my ideas were probably more sinister. Like, I think I was going to either poison someone with it. Or
yeah, because like an eyedropper get someone of that addicted in a drink will make a person violently ill.
Yes. Yeah. So in my mind, I didn't want to do that. In my mind, what I wanted to do was put like
a drop,
get someone addicted to something,
addicted to water.
But then I didn't do any research. Yeah. And so I never did anything with the bottle. I just
kept it for a bit, threw it away.
No, I think it's still somewhere. There's a very expired bottle of old nicotine
in your parents' house somewhere
in the other house.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I probably tucked it away so good that the other family that moved in 15 years ago and haven't found it 10 years ago. But yeah, so that's What Are We Smoking? Excellent. The movie this week is a fucking classic, and we are ramping up for the holiday season. Thanksgiving just ended?
Yeah, this is coming out the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Thanksgiving just ended. I hope you all had a wonderful turkey day. I got to spend it with Mike and Brandon, probably. hopefully, that's the plan. I go to each one of their houses, and I double up on food, and I tell the same stories over and over again, but it's fine. They haven't heard them.
Play Bluey with my kid.
I play Bluey. I pretend to be, I'm Bluey. Hello. It's great. And we're now getting into the holiday season. So I thought, all right, what better way to celebrate Thanksgiving than a movie all about traveling home for Thanksgiving to come out the day after Thanksgiving? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Starring John Candy and Steve Martin. This is such a fucking classic. If you have not seen it, stop right now. Go watch it. Come back. Listen to us afterwards. So, you know I like an opening credits that tells you what a movie's about, and this opening credits is just plane noises, train noises, and automobile noises.
And the fastest scrolling I've ever seen of a title.
And that's the only credit in the beginning. It's just that title.
It scrolls.
I love it.
So fast.
It's great.
I had to rewind it, actually. Yeah.
They're not.
I thought I was on fast forward.
Am I watching this at Andy speed?
Yeah. I loved it. Super quick. We're introduced to Steve Martin. He's trying to get home for the holidays. And right off the bat, you said earlier, you're like, we get a surprise cameo from a bit part because he wasn't famous at this point, of Kevin Bacon and Steve Martin trying to run to catch a taxi.
Yeah.
I put, this is why 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is so easy. He's fucking everywhere. It's just, you can't. He's trying to take your taxi cab.
He's so young. And what's amazing, when you look at him in this, and then you look at Steve Martin, and Steve Martin looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
And Kevin Bacon looks like a kid.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's
this
crazy.
Is before Tremors. This is before...
He's young.
What was earlier than
Well, because that was a reference to another one of his movies. I read in the trivia. I forgot what movie it was, but it was it was a scene taken from one of his movies, but it's like him racing with a... like a bike person on a bike instead of like Steve Martin on the other side.
Huh.
I forgot what movie it was though. It was one of the.
So they just did a direct like reference to that.
Yeah.
So if you were a fan of that other movie that was maybe popular, you would have gotten a kick out of that scene having Steve Martin race against him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because I think it was like one of his movies that was popular at the time. It was like one of the movies that came out right before that.
Well, if you find it, let
Footloose.
Not Footloose.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be great. Oh, because he wasn't in New York against a bike messenger.
No.
My controversial take at the top of this, maybe not that controversial, is I don't think John Candy's character, Dale, does anything wrong in this movie. Like, he does a lot of things accidentally. He's clumsy, sure, but he's not at one point does he do anything maliciously wrong.
Oh, it's never malicious.
To impede
never
their journey or to hurt anybody. Did you find out what movie it was?
I gotta hold on. Give me a second. I gotta go to a different.
It's okay. You know what? We could
just forget it.
Just forget. We'll come back. Okay. Because now you have to go into Prime Video to look at their trivia.
Yeah, that's where it was.
That's for no, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's okay. Yeah, even though I gave you the password last week.
I just haven't turned it off.
That's okay. So that's my thing. I don't think Dale does anything wrong in this movie. I he's a sweet guy. He's Candy, but then him. Then my next note is Dale taking his shoes off.
Right, which is
gross, which we talked about. I think that's super gross. I think we should absolutely ban that. You know, it should be outlawed.
The movie was Quicksilver.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that there's one of our listeners right now that's losing their fucking mind.
Quicksilver 1986.
They're like, it's Quicksilver! Quicksilver! screaming at us. I thought it was Ben Stein should have, one of the names should have been like
Bueller.
That would have been funny, but I don't think that was out yet. I'm not taking Bobby's taxi. If that pulled up in front of me, I'm calling a different taxi company.
You're done.
Not doing
it. He was
it.
In a hurry.
That, yeah, but ridiculous.
You want to take him the scenic route.
But I like how John Candy's just like, or Dale's just tries to make friends with everybody. It's sweet. I really like his character in it. He's super sweet. I think Steve Martin's a fucking prick in this, and I don't think he ever gets redeemed. Maybe at the end a little bit, but I still think it's too little, too late. I think if Dale wasn't alone, he would have, and had more self-respect, he would have realized that, and like earlier on in the movie would have told fucking Neil to fuck off. Because
which he did eventually, though, basically.
Yeah. He sort of had a stern talking to, but then like immediately, but then remember he turns his head to see if he's looking?
Yeah.
Using
I think it's just because he was lonely.
He was lonely. Yeah. That's kind of the story
the
of this
whole
movie.
Story, yeah.
Lonely Dale.
Very lonely. We don't find out why until the last scene of the movie, basically. Yeah.
I actually, maybe it's because I've seen the movie so many times, but I was just like, they kind of make it apparent that his wife's dead. Like, he has a big framed picture of her that he brings out and puts on his nightstand every night. That seems like your wife's dead.
Well, I mean, it seems like a traveling salesman who misses his wife.
Yeah, he's a traveling salesman. So he hasn't, you know, he hadn't been home in 8 years.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, again, I think I have Watcher's
Yeah, you've seen
bias.
It before.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what
it
is.
Although I want to say, traveling salesman for shower curtain rings may be the dumbest setup ever. But
it was the 80s.
Pre-internet.
Pre-internet, 80s.
Yeah. How were people supposed to know what showering curtains they wanted?
So,
Sears?
I'm just thinking, obviously.
Sears was around.
Yeah.
I think there was a catalog. Walmart existed. It wasn't 1922.
No, you're right. Yeah, this wasn't the Dust Bowl. Yeah. Great Depression. Yeah. He's trying to like. No, but I think he specifically was going to hotels and stuff.
I think he was going to like, or the one that went to businesses to like Home Depot or Ace Hardware and sold them the shower rings or whatever. I get that, and I know, but usually I don't think it's one item like that. I think those kind of salesmen have a lot of things.
Yeah. Well,
that was one item.
But that was, no, he had a sample pouch that had a bunch of them in there.
But I'm saying they would sell shower curtain rings and shower curtains and different things for the shower.
Yeah.
Not one item
for the shower caddy.
Yeah. So that's a little silly. You're right. I think the guy, Steve Martin's job isn't much better. He just works
Ad
for that
agency,
guy that can't tell the difference. Did you guys watch the post credit?
No, I fell asleep, so I didn't even finish it.
I let it play for a couple minutes and didn't think there was one.
No,
you
got to let it play to the end. So the post credit, it cuts back to the executive guy,
he's still
looking at the pictures. Yeah, so that was pretty funny. I think at one point Dale pulls a lighter out to read by the light of his lighter. And I'm like, that's stupid.
That's... Well, speaking of lighters, that's one of the things I noticed stands out in this movie now. Watching this movie today, there's smoke everywhere. It's so weird. Every office, every
people smoking
train station,
the entire time. Yeah.
The people were
at
smoking
at the restaurants
everywhere. And it's
dude.
My first thought during that scene when they're all smoking in the restaurants is like, God, it must have sucked to have been a dishwasher back then because you just cigarette butts everywhere.
Just everything.
Everything.
Yeah. To be a customer back then.
Yeah, because there was no getting, no escaping.
There was no escaping.
Yeah.
Oh, well, for sure, we were kids when there's still smoking sections, right?
But there were
sections, they were banning
not
them at that
everywhere.
Point. Yeah.
Or here.
But then you, I mean,
but when
here,
you have a smoking section, the whole place smells like smoke. It's like it's...
But there's restaurants in some of the casinos that have smoking sections still. Like,
here?
Yeah, at the AV. The I think
there's a smoking section in the restaurant, the AV.
I think there's the I think the Roadrunner Cafe. Do they not have a smoking section?
I don't think so anymore. I think they
I feel like I've been there.
The Roadrunner.
I think they used to. I do remember them having one.
I feel like I recent since moving out here, I feel like with my old
the Roadrunner Cafe on the Parkway.
No. He's talking about at the AV.
At the AV. Oh,
or they have a cafe there, and I think in the cafe there's a smoking section.
That's interesting.
Because casinos are like the only place left that has that.
Well, it's
much
like if you go if you go to the Golden Nugget, you go to the restaurant there. There's no smoking in it, but the whole restaurant smells like smoke because it's so close to the floor.
Yeah, and that's probably why they
don't have a smoking section in there because you can just step out on the floor and have your drags.
And that might be
in.
Why there's a smoking section in the other one because it already smells like smoke. And
it's so
like,
close.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm so glad that there's not all that secondhand fucking smoke everywhere now in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a smoker, and I prefer non-smoking in restaurants because I want to eat my food, and then if I want to go smoke,
too,
I'll go outside.
Then I went to non-smoking.
Yeah,
it's never been like usually, I've never smoked in my house.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it is hard to be a smoker now. Like go to amusement park and try to be a smoker. There's one or two smoking sections.
You got
to
go outside
the park.
Yeah, most of them you got to go outside the park and come back in,
or you bring a fucking vape.
And hide it.
And you hide it.
Or you, yeah,
you sneak
which
puffs.
I don't do that. I can't do that. I can't. Like, I see people all day when I'm at theme parks, and, like, I want to just go out and find the smoking section and go, and I'm just like, fuck it. I use Zen pouches or something like that instead. But I just see people walking around hitting their vapes and crowds of people. And I'm like, I can't fucking do that. Like, I'm not
I wouldn't
that
do
guy.
It in a crowd of person, like, crowd of people. I find a secluded, as secluded of an area as I can. Like, in Disneyland, if you go to the Bugs Life area, there's a family bathroom that's pretty solid to go hit some
right by
in.
The scents, and there's the scent things over there, like it has the smells of like the flowers and
you
can hide your smell. Yeah,
I didn't know that's see I can't I don't smell so yeah I wonder if that was just an added bonus why we never got caught. Interesting. But
that's why your friends suggested to go over there probably.
Yeah,
like, you know, I know you can't smell it, but it smells good over here, so.
Yeah, that must be it. But yeah, also if you go to being a smoker at an airport is some airports are ridiculous. Like the smoking situation, either you have to go outside the airport completely, or I was traveling. I went to South Carolina, and the airport there, the smoking section was like this
box,
indoor box thing. Oh God, it was
that's
like
what St. Louis had.
You had to double your exposure of the smoke. You're sitting there, just everyone's just
box.
Chain smoking. You hotbox, it's gross, dude. Probably
well,
reek when you come
I don't
out.
Know, because I think we were talking about this because of this movie. No one hardly, I mean, you smoke, but you're one of very few anymore. There's not, we have, the restaurant industry is notoriously bad for smokers, has a lot of smokers.
Yeah.
And even we're down under 50% now, and it used to be 100% of restaurant workers.
Yeah.
And we're under 50% now, I'd say. And other places, I think it's under, like, I'm guessing maybe 10% of people
I think
anymore.
The vapes and, like, other things like that
the
have kind of changed
taken it. Away,
yeah. So it's like everybody vapes now instead.
Yeah.
Vapes or Zins, or they do some sort of nicotine absorption another way. Or they don't.
Well, yeah, because nicotine's not bad for you.
No.
I mean, obviously you can overdose on it, but it's not, as far as doing any damage to you, nicotine's fine. You can have all the Zin you want, and it can do anything.
Nicotine's actually,
it's
helps.
Actually a stimulant. It helps you. It makes your brain work faster.
It does.
Okay.
Want to try?
No. It took me so long
He's
to
like,
stop.
I don't want to get addicted
See if it
to
keeps
something
you on
else.
Track.
No, I've had Zins. I don't, it's not for me.
I am trying this other one. It's called Canadips, and they're like hemp. Ooh. Hemp and CBD.
Oh, no, we might have to try that.
Yeah, I got, I made an order, and then they sent me two automatic orders that they signed me up for, and I'm like, I got to stop that. So I got a bunch of them that I'll bring and give you guys a try.
I want to try that, yeah.
The ones that I went through was, there was these ones that were THCP, or it was like, it's a different THC derivative.
Okay.
And they were okay. Like, they kind of just give you like a mild buzz, which was not bad. But the main ones that I really like right now are, like, they're CBN and melatonin.
Okay.
Fucking great for sleep. Like, I pop one in, and, like, 30 minutes later, I'm like, okay. Spit it out, and I'm like, all right, bed, out.
Oh, because it's a little pouch.
Yeah, it's a little pouch, and then it's, melatonin kicks in pretty quickly, and I'm out.
Yeah, that's dope.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want to get into a pouch system right now.
These ones, I'll let you at least try. It's CBD. It's okay. Hemp and it's CBD. It's nothing addictive.
All right, I'll try that one. I don't want anything. I don't care if it hurts me or not. I don't want to be addicted to anything other than weed, food.
There's nothing to be addicted to.
Self-hatred.
Self-hatred.
Podcast that doesn't no one listens to. taking notes about a movie that people have done much better coverage over the years. Speaking of which, I think a speech against I think Neil's speech to Dale was totally fucked up, like, so mean, so uncalled for. That should have been the end of it right there.
Are you talking about in the hotel room?
In the hotel room.
Yeah.
Right before they go to bed. But, there's no excuse for it. But holy shit,
I'm sure there's someone that you've wanted to say stuff like that to.
Me?
Me.
Brendan?
No, not you. I'm not saying you. I'm saying you've probably met people in your life that you've wanted to say that to. That, like you know, that coworker or something that you don't like that wants to tell you all these stories, and you're
that
like,
person who didn't tip.
Yeah, or that person didn't tip. That's like, I really
actually
want
to say to them. Yeah.
Wait, you were saying earlier a coworker that tells you all these stories. Are
you
trying
like.
To say something to me?
No.
About me being the coworker that tells a lot of stories?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't enjoy it.
Well, I mean, the gun to your head doesn't.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's the only reason I'm here. Help.
Well, you know, it's like Dell.
The computer?
No, Dell.
Oh, Dale. Sorry.
He's like a Saint Bernard.
Yes.
Yeah. That's probably the best thing I can think. He's like
big
he's
old
like
clumsy bull in a China shop vibe.
Lovable bull in a China shop. Yeah, he screws up all the time. Shits in your yard. Whatever. But you still got to love him.
Yeah,
he's going to slobber in your food after you just made it. Yeah, it's going to suck, but you still have to take care of him. Yeah. You can't yell at him.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. So there's a lot, whole lot of pig assholes in a transition scene. There's one scene where it just cuts to whatever, and there's all these pigs, but they're all facing away from the camera. And it's just six or seven just big old gaping pig assholes. And I was like, God damn, John Hughes.
John Hughes.
Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Had to sneak it in there somewhere.
Sneaking those fucking assholes somewhere else, bro. Best scene is, of course, Dale, why are you kissing my ear? Or why'd you kiss my ear? Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? It's
between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows? And then they stand up. Oh, God. Hell of a game last week.
Yeah. That's the greatest part. Yeah. I love it.
So good. That's the best line. When I was telling my dad that we were reviewing this earlier, he that was the one he quoted too. It's so good. So perfectly done. When movies want to be a comedy, that's how you make a comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, super good. I put literally my next note was smoking in restaurants. Glad that's over. So we were just talking about it.
Yeah.
The dude on the bus was straight up sucking his girlfriend's titties when they were on that bus.
Yeah.
And then they must have fucked because they were both having a post-coital cigarette.
That was a quick one, though.
It's fine. They're
like
young.
10 seconds.
Yeah. Right when they turned their heads, they turned back.
Yeah.
That was, like, gross.
Yeah. The telling them, you know, take a picture at last line is like, get a fucking room.
Yeah,
like,
get a room.
On a
and
fucking
I love,
bus.
I love Dale's response where he just laughs. He's like, he got you. Yeah. He got you.
Now, you guys might be young, but I've traveled on bus many times because back in the day, that's how you had to do it because planes were expensive when I was a kid.
I'm surprised their planes existed.
Yeah. But I have seen these things on buses. I have seen people fuck on buses. I have seen people.
Oh, yeah.
Everything on buses. It's if you could take a Greyhound back in the day across the country, the things you would see were amazing.
Well, I know one of my buddies. He like our senior year, he ended up moving to Pennsylvania, kind of. And when he moved back, he couldn't afford to fly back, so he Greyhound back. It took him a week and a half to get back from Pennsylvania.
It's insane.
And Jesus Christ. I was like, "How much did you spend?" He's like, "It was like $100." I'm like, "Was it worth it?" And he's like, "God, no."
Well, no, because you don't realize when you're a kid and you're doing that shit. I did this once, and I had to go from California back to Texas, right? And it took like 3 days on
multiple buses,
like 3 days on Greyhound. Oh, and but you don't realize when you go, well, it was like $89 then, but a plane was like $600.
Yeah.
But I think I spent like $450 anyway on food and shit.
Yeah.
So you don't even think about it when you're doing it, but it costs just as much.
Because in the bus driver's mind, or at least that company, they're like, this is an experience. You're getting a cross-country road trip without having the expense of your own car, so enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't think like this is you're trying to, well, I mean, I know it's economy, but fuck. Yeah, it's expensive. I'm not ever going to.
No, don't do it.
I don't want to do it.
God, no.
I walk instead if I have to.
Yeah.
Could me walk. I'm just kidding.
I'll just stay home.
But yeah, there was a lot of, I mean, he was just straight up motorboating his fucking girlfriend on the bus. Damn, Neil is fucking mean when he says, let's go. What am I doing? I can't even fucking read my own writing. But I think it's like, well, let's go different directions. I think it's time that we started going, heading our separate ways. I thought that was just like, again,
that was when they were hopping on the train, wasn't it?
Yeah. I couldn't get two seats together.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Yeah. I tried. I would have liked to have seen a scene maybe where we know for sure that he didn't try, because like part of me almost thinks he did, but then this is the point where he's like, fuck you, Dale. Like still. Yeah. So I'm guessing he didn't.
I don't think he did.
Okay. The trucks that so they get the train breaks down, they rent the car, and as they're that's where we get the rental car scene where the train comes, so we get Steve Martin, he goes and he gets a train he rents a car and he gets dropped off by a shuttle in the middle of a parking lot that looks like it's acres wide, and it's like Z5, it's the only spot that doesn't have a fucking car in it. He throws the fucking things like, fuck, yeah, shit. And he goes back inside and he starts just laying into the rental car worker. Hello, how can I help you? You can help me by finding my fucking car, getting me a fucking ride out of this fucking dump because I'm on my fucking way home to fucking Thanksgiving. I want to see my fucking wife, my fucking kids, and I'm tired of this fucking day. Thank you. And she's like, I don't appreciate the tone. I don't give a fuck if you don't. He just like keeps going at her. And then she goes, all right, do you have the rental agreement? He says, no, I threw it the fuck away. And she says, oh, dear. Then it looks like you're fucked. And it just,
it's just perfect delivery.
So good.
Perfect delivery.
So good. One of the best. I love it.
Anyone that works in customer service is like, yes, this is how I want to handle a customer like that.
Fucking dream. Would be to lay into somebody like that. What's the other? Oh, the truck. So when they get their car, and Dale, it ends up being the worst driver ever, kind of like keeps fucking around. And at some point he tries to take it. He throws a cigarette butt in the back. He starts warming things up to the point where he has to take his coat off. His coat gets stuck. He ends up driving, almost crashing. And Steve Martin wakes up slowly and he's like, oh, what happened? He's like, well, we almost hit a deer. Oh, okay. All right, well, let's get back on the road. They go the wrong way, and that's one of the best scenes, is that other couple going, you're going the wrong way. And Seymour's saying, they say we're going the wrong way. And Dale's saying, how do they know where we're going?
Yeah.
And him saying, that's a good point.
That's like a Cheech and Chong bit right
they
there.
They must be drinking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so
and then
well
they
written.
Look at it, the two semis.
Yeah.
No, and I was like, those trucks didn't slow down,
nope.
Didn't pull apart, didn't break afterwards, did nothing but almost kill this fucking car. Like, no, you would hear, it should have been a bunch of screeching noises
And then right. he pulls his fingers out of the dash, and then the steering wheel's all bent down.
Yeah, that was great.
It's all melted.
Yeah,
yeah.
Afterwards, which is, and then the truck, the car runs later. Yeah. They get pulled over, and they get a wasted cameo from whoever that was, the cop. I've seen him in other things. He's been in an episode of Buffy, but I know that's not where you guys would know him from. But he's a character yeah. actor. You've seen him in other things, but he wasted because it's just yeah. like a nothing cameo, just a regular, just cop role that yeah. could have been played by anybody. So maybe he well, wasn't could have
been earlier
anybody.
In his career. Yeah,
yeah. Maybe yeah. it wasn't anybody. Maybe that was just a cameo getting yeah. him started, or like a bit
just
role.
A bit role. Yeah.
Like oh, okay, interesting. The poor Dale. The speech in the car by himself in the snow, like to his dead wife, when he's
his
like,
his name is Dell, by the way. You keep saying Dale, and it is Dell. Yeah.
Like the computer?
Yeah, well, with one L, but yeah. yeah.
All right, well, I didn't know. Like, I wasn't reading subtitles. I was yeah. listening. They said Dale the whole time. But all right, yeah, so Dell. Dell's little speech when he's sitting there in the yeah. snow in the car, just getting snowed on, he's like, I'm a fucking disgrace, you know, like he feels bad for himself, and he's like, really? And I'm like, poor Dell. Yeah. Like, that's fucked up, bro.
I kind of felt that way about Dell through the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor yeah. sweet
Dell. That's kind of, I think that's what they want you to feel for the most part. Like, even though you want to relate with Steve Martin's character a little bit,
yeah,
because he's just trying to get home for the holidays, but he's, you know, also extremely agitated with just yeah. everything that's going on, and then you got Dell. Yeah. And he's not.
I feel like
it.
I do relate more to Steve Martin knowing yeah. this, honestly, because I've flown Spirit Airlines.
Oh yeah. Oh God, I'm glad I've never done that. Closest I came to that was Southwest.
I just saw a meme where some chick was like, "She's like, you find out that the love of your life splurged on plane tickets for you to go meet him, and then you find out Spirit Airlines." And she, I was like, "Okay, first off, be happy that he bought you a ticket. Don't yeah. bitch that Spirit Airlines, but." My next two notes on here, after no seatbelts, just pointing out that there's no seatbelts in the car. My next two notes is exactly what it is. It's, am I Dale, or am I Neil? Like, because I am Dale to a certain degree, but I'm also very much, Neil because I'm
more Neil than Dale. I wish I was more Dale. That's the thing. I wish I was more Dale, but I'm more Neil. Honestly,
yeah, it's kind of a tough one.
Yeah, I want to be.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah.
I fuck everything
it's
up.
It's so hard.
I fuck everything yeah. up.
But I also get annoyed at other people very easily.
Yeah.
So if you could somehow combine these two characters, that's me. the montage. Okay. They get back to Chicago and they say their goodbyes or whatever. The montage where Steve Martin. Neil is figuring out that Dell's wife is dead is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. Because he's like thinking about his family. He's thinking about like whatever. And then he thinks about Dell and saying, like giving him the look of like, it's like, oh, your wife, you know, nothing's, you know, of the love of a good wife. And Dell like looks at him like, yeah, yeah, I haven't been home in years, you know, like that kind of stuff. Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I teared up
when he finally realizes that his wife is dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I literally my next note.
What are you doing here?
Yeah,
my next note. Okay, I'm crying. So I hope they're friends forever. Was my next note. I hope that they just remain friends. I hope that this is a start of like a very good friendship between the two of them, and that anytime Dell's in town, Chicago, he absolutely comes by for dinner with Neil.
Becomes a part of the family. That's kind of how you. How they leave it, want you to feel.
It's like, it's gonna be like, hey, Dell, you come home for the holidays and go live your life, but you come home and you spend it with us. That's how I'd like to see.
And it's the exact same plot and due date.
Yeah. So Brendan brought up earlier, due date is the not an adaptation, but very similar concept.
Yeah.
Two dudes trying to get home for a baby being born instead of, well, not both of
Zach
them.
Zach Galifianakis is trying to get out there for
being an actor.
Yeah, actor. He's trying to be an actor.
So he's not in any rush.
Yeah.
Well, sort of. I think he's got an audition.
Yeah, and I think Zach Galifianakis more kind of sabotages so that he has to go with him, you know?
Yeah.
That's a little different. That's the main difference is he sabotages more, whereas Dell, it's kind of just coincidence.
Incident. Yeah, coincidence. Yeah. And then John Hughes. I was like, no wonder it's so fucking good. Best holiday traveling movie by far. And the post-credit scene is pretty great. The boss looking at the pictures.
Yeah, I didn't see that. Totally.
I think this is a masterclass in comedy. I've watched it my whole life. I remember my mom showing it to me when we were young. When I was younger, I had it on VHS. This is definitely something I watched constantly through holiday season. It really, this is the first time I've watched it like a November watching instead of like, I guess, a Christmas watching. Because I think I always think they're trying to get home for Christmas, right. But it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And so this is a really good Thanksgiving movie, which there's not a lot of.
No.
You don't have a lot of Thanksgiving-themed movies. There is one that flies under the radar, no pun intended.
Thanksgiving?
Called Freebird.
Freebird was great.
Freebird
is great.
Solid.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Freebird and you like the Thanksgiving holiday, it is a underrated gem. It's computer animated. It's one of those silly made-for-kids type movies, but it's about a turkey trying to not get eaten on Thanksgiving. Like, he's trying to get free from being killed or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's great. Super good. Like, super funny movie. Like, way better than it had any right to be.
Yeah.
I felt. And then there's also Jim Henson has a very kind of magical, if you're into the cozy cottagecore vibe, early 90s sort of thing, it's called Jim Henson. Tree Hollow? There's something. Look it up. I don't know, Jim Henson. Look for Jim Henson Thanksgiving movie, please. One of you. Something that the Hollow of Trees Giving, the Give Hollow Tree something or other. And so that's pretty great. And then, obviously, there's...
Turkey Hollow.
Turkey Hollow. Yeah, Jesus, I was close.
You were close.
And they're Muppets, yeah.
I was really close. Yeah.
Oh, it's Muppets? That's awesome.
Yeah, well, it's Jim Henson. So it's Jim Henson Corporate, and they do puppetry and stuff.
Yeah, it's puppets. Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's like it's in a forest. It's in Turkey Hollow, which is like a town, cozy little town.
It's on Disney Plus or Prime right now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, I think it's worth a shot, worth a watch. Yeah. So I love John Candy, you know, rest in peace. I wish we had more of him. Could you imagine his cameo in Only Murders? The character he would have played in whatever room that he could have played in or
any of the movies he would have been in if he was still alive.
Man.
They could have made a Spaceballs 2.
They could have, yeah. Uncle Buck, too.
Another case of somebody who just wouldn't stop eating, basically. That was all.
Was that what it was that he died from?
Just heart attack.
Because I wasn't sure if it was that or was it a drug overdose, too. No, because Chris Farley was drug overdose.
That's Chris Farley.
Yeah, fuck, dude.
It's also sad.
He was just a fatty, fat, fat man that just liked to eat.
Well, I mean, he lived his life then.
43 years of it.
43 years. That's it. Damn.
43.
Wow. 43.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
And all I do is eat. Am I John Candy fat?
You're not that big. Not even close.
Well, I don't think not close.
You got plenty of time.
You're probably half the size of John
Candy. I'm closer to John Candy. I'm more John Andy than I am John Candy right now. I'm like John Sausage more than candy because of all the high fatty protein.
It's just this time of year.
Well, I give this movie a B+. It's one of my absolute favorite holiday movies. Traveling movie. I don't think there's anything that doesn't age well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any.
You could say there are a few online when I was watching this and reading about it, there were a few people complaining about like my favorite scene in the movie,
the pillow scene.
Oh, after
how they react,
how they have to be super straight
each
other.
Yeah.
But that also,
that's just machismo. That's
but it
like
wasn't
not,
anything bad.
Yeah,
that's not silly. That's going too far.
That's
where wokeness goes too far.
They didn't say afterwards like, oh, hey, yeah, no, I never touch a dick. I'm not gay. Hey, I'm not some fucking whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, go down that line or whatever. They literally were just like, oh, hey, all right, how about that sports game?
Yeah.
And then just tried to ignore the fact that it happened.
Right.
There was actually a lot of, I mean, think about it. That's intimate. Like, John Candy was kissing Steve Martin's ear for this movie. So, like, there, it doesn't seem, and they didn't do it in a way that.
No, they did it so well.
Yeah. It's never going to, it's not going to be, and John Hughes is not going to make an anti-gay film.
No.
Obviously.
Wait, before we say that, let's review his work, and we could review his work and see if there's any gay jokes.
I don't think there is any gay jokes in any John Hughes.
Breakfast Club?
There's lots of gay jokes,
well,
but they're
not like
bad ones.
I don't think
anti-gay.
I don't think even Breakfast Club or 16 Candles, I don't think there's any like anti-gay or like I don't even think they touch on any of it. Well, maybe
Pretty Pink.
Maybe.
Because is it Lo Duck Dong or whatever his name is in that one? The super bad racial stereotype of the Asian guy.
Well, there's okay, so there's bad racial stereotypes, but
okay.
I don't think there's anti. I don't think there's
all
gay.
Oh, right, well, cool.
Yeah.
So John Hughes, you passed the Bechdel test for gay rights.
For gay
John
rights,
Hughes,
but yeah,
of course
but
not
he does.
For,
yeah.
Not for racist.
Not for racial stuff.
Racist asshole.
How many black people were in this movie?
I didn't see any.
Zero,
yeah.
I believe. I mean, probably in a crowd or whatever.
Yeah.
But
really? Would you put money on there was black people in the crowd?
I wouldn't put money on it, no. But I'm guessing.
They didn't run into a
single. They were
single...
New York City. No. In that one scene, I would put money on there was black people in the crowd.
Walking the
in
city.
In that one scene in New York City. Because actually one of my notes was I could never, ever, ever. I'm not sure I could even visit New York.
I want to visit.
I want to, but I don't.
Right.
I
that many people, I cannot. That crowd, when he looks out after the cab and you can see the sea of fucking people.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I could be in that crowd.
Maybe if I was alone, like not with my family, not having
I'd
to keep an eye on everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
If I was alone, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then not have to worry about anyone else. But when I'm having to worry about my kids and stuff, fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
I would go see a Broadway show, maybe go to the top of the Empire State Building, do that thing where you lean on the glass as long as I weight appropriate. And then
would you do the slide thing?
What?
There's like a window outdoor slide thing.
Oh, well, I mean, if it's
like it's glass. It's like a glass
slide. Hell no.
Hell
no. Have you seen that? Have you seen that video? Speaking of that, have you seen that big video of the people in China? They have that glass
bridge.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. The one that fake breaks underneath you?
Yeah.
The one that terrifies me more is the one where they're climbing along the mountainside and they have, like, the clips, but they're not really, it's, like, old and not really secured. Like, it's like a, it leads to a temple of some
Devil's,
sort.
Devil's Leap, I think it's called, in Utah. At,
is that the
Zion
swing one?
It's yeah.
No.
I would do some crazy shit.
I'm
if
not
it
much
was
of a
safe.
Daredevil.
No,
I did the slingshot at the fair.
Nope,
I did that one.
Not
you can
doing
base
it.
Jump in the Grand Canyon.
Nope.
Tandem base
no,
jump tandem.
You can.
I'm not going to.
I'm not.
I've watched videos of people doing it, and it looks fun, but like no, still no.
I've gone skydiving. I loved.
See, I got
base
pushed
jump
out of a plane once.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing it on choice. Not doing it by choice. When I was in the Army, I had to do it. It's different. Yeah. But these people that go do it for fun, there's nothing fun about that.
I had a great time.
That plane's going to fucking land, dude.
Yeah, but
you don't need to jump.
I got there first.
But yeah, okay.
The parachutes.
I like to double speed things. Yeah.
The parachutes you guys used, you guys didn't have like any way to control them, though,
no,
right? In the
not
Army,
really. A tiny, tiny bit.
You're just
kind of
like
really
going where you're
you
going.
Go where you go,
the
where they drop
you. You made were made out of a saber-toothed tiger pelts. So you had to hunt one. That was a lot tougher, Mike. I grew up in the nylon has been invented.
Jump out because people stop pedaling the plane engine.
Yabba dabba doo.
That's what I had in my head. I got Flintstones. So.
Oh, and then in this, Flintstones. Yeah. Meet the Flintstones.
Yeah.
It's the ever modern family. I don't know the words.
That was right.
Yeah,
the average modern family. What
or
I said.
Or meet the average modern family.
Yeah,
meet something.
The average modern family. Or in the town of Springfield.
Bedrock.
He's about to hit a chestnut tree.
Yeah, it's Bedrock.
Spring. You just confused your cartoons.
Yeah.
Well, no, I actually did the. I
is
did
there
the
a Simpsons.
I did
version?
The Simpsons opening where he
okay.
goes, yeah. Homer. Homer Simpson, he's the biggest man in history from the town of Springfield. He's about to hit a chestnut tree. Jump! And then he hits one. Yeah, that's great. Oh, but he also does the whistle, and he goes, yabba-dabba-doo, and he goes down the like a slide with uranium,
oh,
you know, because he's at the power plant.
Yeah.
So, yeah. B plus for me. Brandon, what's your thoughts?
I love this movie. Yeah, like you, I also grew up watching it. My dad showed it to me at a young age and was like, you're going to love it. And I did. And I mean, one day I will watch it with my kids as well. I keep trying to get my teenager to watch kind of some of these movies, but he's more into like the serious or like kind of action movies from like the 90s and 2000s. Like he just watched Fight Club and he wants movies like that or over the top dirty humor. He doesn't really want like good classic humor. So, but I give it a B plus as well. It's both movies we watched, they were B pluses.
Yeah. I'm also a B plus. I will say I don't think they could make this movie today because it would be too unrealistic.
Yeah.
Because what would happen?
Airport. Security. That would have been a whole extra 10 minutes of movie.
Yes.
Him getting through security.
Yeah.
That would be a completely different movie. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
The moment you said you couldn't make it today, the airport scene alone would be a completely different vibe.
Yeah.
Post 9/11.
Because even today, well, who wants to sit for 2 hours of watching people's lit on their cell phones in the thing? They
yeah.
Just be sitting on their cell phones.
That's
in the,
true. Doing nothing.
Doing nothing. You're not going to strike up a conversation with a stranger anymore. It doesn't even happen anymore.
That's why I'm hoping.
I'm not sure it's a better thing.
Yeah.
What I hope we get more of is a resurgence. What, you know how like in the 90s and early 2000s, we had a lot of movies that took place in the 80s? I want more stuff to take place in the 90s, pre-cell phones.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I want there to be, like, a distinct, like, historical, like, what's the line that was pre-cell phone? Like,
2000,
pre-2000?
Much, yeah.
2000, so pre-Y2K much, yeah. Era?
Yeah. I think it was kind of like after 9/11 was when parents were like, my kid needs to have a phone just in case anything happens.
I think blah, that pushed blah, blah, the
like,
urge.
That pushed the urge to get your kids cell phones.
You think big cell phone was behind 9/11?
I'm not touching that one, Andy.
Does Motorola melt steel beams?
But seriously, I mean, what
Dragonfire
even
does.
Even if you go to a restaurant now and you look around, people aren't even conversing anymore. They're on their phones.
Yeah. Constantly, yeah.
It may be the downfall of civilization.
Fucking God, Mike. Are you kidding me? I go to a restaurant. You think it's to talk to strangers?
No,
you know,
their
own family.
Oh, yeah, he's talking even at the table.
Sorry.
Yeah,
you're right.
I make my family put their phones away at the restaurant.
Oh, yeah. No. That's silly. Like, I just went. I am
you
never
went to stranger talk.
Yeah, I did. I'm actually probably one of the. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm never on my phone. I'm not on my phone communicating or scrolling through Facebook a lot. I do use it for YouTube when I am out and about and I need YouTube on the go. But for the most part, yeah, I'm willing to put my phone down and have a conversation.
You're big on ChatGPT too. ChatGPT.
ChatGPT. It is my friend and Lord and Savior, but other than that, no. I mean, yeah,
have to go ask a stranger for directions, for example. I'm just saying, it was like, it's such a different world now.
Well, that was a huge trope in films back in the day, like men won't stop and ask for directions, and now we don't have to.
Right.
You know?
Now we don't have to.
Yeah. Never had to stop
and
ask for directions.
It's so different. So all the things like in this movie.
Yeah.
It would never happen. You would never strike up that conversation in the airport with the guy.
Yeah, that's true.
It just wouldn't happen.
Well, I think Due Date kind of handled some of that well because, like, he got to stop him from flying, he got kicked off the plane and then banned from flying for something that happened on the plane with him and Zach Galifianakis' character. So they both got kicked off, banned from it, and that's how they ended up meeting each other. And then something happens with the rental car. They only have one car. Kind of same situation, and then they end up sharing the car, and that's kind of...
Harold and Kumar smash their cell phones using paranoia.
Yeah, because they're stoned, yeah.
Now I'm trying to think, how many movies have to eliminate cell phones from the plot device to make it work? Like...
Any modern horror movie has to something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to figure out something
for sure has to do that. Because those kids would all be just taking pictures of them, like,
posting online.
So, so the new Scream movie, the newest Scream movie that came out, like, last year, definitely had teens on their phones and stuff. They didn't get rid of that aspect. It's not get rid of. I think we now have to just smartly incorporate cell phones in.
A jammer
without,
or something.
Well, not even jam it. It's just like Terrifier, for instance. You just have to have it so that their phone isn't on them. I think that's the most unrealistic thing ever.
Yeah.
Is like a teen doesn't have their phone in their fucking hand at all times. So yeah, you got to do either like an EMP blast if you can get away with one of those, or
well, now they have those little devices that the skimmer devices people can keep in their pocket, and they're using to steal card information and stuff like that. They can add that into plots, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, and now there's obviously plots that involve cell phones, so you know, like the cell,
yeah,
whatever. So there's, I mean, there's good and bad to it. I'm just saying that in the real world, you don't. These situations just don't happen.
You don't really interact with people.
What
as
movie
much anymore.
Did the guy rig little explosives or bullets to the inside of cell phones so that when they picked it up and shot?
I think you're thinking of Real Life. What they just did with pagers in Israel or in?
Oh Jesus, no, that's not what I'm talking
about. Though.
But
I'm saying, but they did just do it in real life.
Made them
they
into
made
bombs.
Little pager bombs.
They made pager bombs. They gave all the. They took. They got somehow the Mossad, I guess, infiltrated the cell phone, the pager company. And so because all the terrorists were using pagers to communicate because they could track cell phones, so they were all using pagers, so they infiltrated the pager company and sent out thousands of cell phones or pagers with little bombs in them.
Fuck yeah.
And made them all go off at once.
Wait, hold on. Before
you
I
did
say
not
fuck
know
yet.
About
no,
this?
No, I didn't. I'm going to look into it extensively. But
terrorists, you said.
Yeah, you said the terrorists got blown up.
Yeah.
Is okay, so then good.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, that's was a.
No, when I say good, obviously I'm not pro terrorism, but devil's advocate, yeah. I most of the time don't know what terrorists are fighting for. I just know
neither
that,
do they. Yeah. It's just old hatred. They don't remember why.
Yeah, so I don't, and especially don't know enough about the Middle Eastern conflict to have a side one or the other. So like this last election, I promise you, Gaza and Israel played no role in my decision making because I don't know enough about the situation, and there's nothing I can do to help or hinder, or I wouldn't even know who to help. You know what I mean? Right. Like, so yeah, in that situation, I'm hoping the bad terrorists got blown up with the pagers.
Well, there were a couple of kids and stuff like that that I also got. Because,
well, then now
you know,
I feel like a jerk saying, "Oh, good."
How
just,
dare
it's
you?
Just, yeah.
I know. Fuck, I'm a monster.
Monster.
But that, I mean, that is cool. But I think the movie I'm thinking of now that I have it in my head is it's got Gerard Butler. Jamie Foxx.
Oh, that's Law Abiding Citizen.
Law Abiding Citizen.
That's a great movie. I love that
movie. I think he rigs the cell phones to shoot, like, have a bullet inside that shoots
for one of them,
they,
yeah. I think it was a judge or something.
Yeah, there we go, the chick. The woman. Yeah. Have you seen Law Abiding Citizen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Oh, we should do that.
Yeah, that was a great one.
That was really good. Well, starting season four, ladies and gentlemen, we have open reign as to any movies. We're going to be able to pick anything we want. So moving forward, next year, if Mike picks something close to as bad as Singularity,
it's on purpose.
That was on purpose, intentional, and he means war. So just so if he did, no matter what happens in the following episode, he deserves it.
I think it's going to make it harder to pick
movies. I did not pick. That is not our worst movie. So
that's true.
It is not our worst movie.
Which one was the worst one?
Sleepwalk Kill.
Sleepwalk Kills.
Or dot, 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 if you don't stop,
you'll
go blind.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Which I missed both of those.
And then there was the one, you know.
Our rating system, because we just gave it a B+ and said it was a perfect movie for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Our rating system is B through F and then W for waste of time. So a B+ is as high as we go. That's going to change in a few weeks when we go into our new season. We're going to have a brand new system in play. Yeah. But we here on the show like to do a little thing in honor of Austin, which is called Recreational Recommendations.
Beboo.
Perfect.
That's our tribute to Austin.
Yeah, that's a little tribute.
That's my tribute. It's not as good, but I'll try.
He does great. So I watched Alien Romulus. I thought it was fucking awesome. I think it might be my favorite Alien movie. It's so fucking good. The guy who plays the cyborg is outstanding. I wouldn't even say he carries the movie on his back because the movie outside of him is also really fucking good. But it's like, if the movie outside of him was bad, it'd still be a great movie because of him. And I feel like without him, the movie still would have been a great movie. So combine the two, it honestly, what a stellar ass fucking film.
Did you read the comic book that you were talking about too?
So I did read the comic book afterwards, and the comic book is a prequel. I don't want to give away too much about, but this is a direct sequel to Alien.
To the original Alien?
Okay. So the original Alien, we all know that Ellen, well, here's spoilers, sorry, if you don't want Alien, just skip ahead a couple minutes, but...
The 1980?
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Ellen Ripley shoots it out the airlock.
Right.
Okay? So that alien is just traveling through space. This deals with that problem. This deals with Wayland Corp knowing that there's an alien traveling through space and sending a ship out to retrieve it, because it wants to know what this perfect organism is.
And they calculate like where it is going to be.
And yeah,
somehow.
And so 20-ish years later, 25 years later, they snatch the thing, and you see, so the opening of this movie is them capturing it. It's like them taking it into their ship. So that's not what the movie's about, but if you read the comic book, you find out what happened to that crew, how the alien got out of their ship or whatever, and doing its thing, right?
So this is actually like a direct sequel to the comic book.
No, but the movie. The movie, though, because the movie, just think of like Alien 1 ends, Alien gets shot out. Right. This would be, I think, maybe even the most chronologically close to that first movie there is 20 years later.
Ripley's like drifting this way, and they're going this way for the alien.
Yeah, and so they find it, and they bring it into like a science ship. But the main characters are a group of people on a mining planet that want to get off this mining planet. And when they find out that there's a ship that just drifted into their solar system or into their area, they take a ship to go check it out. And that's the station that has the alien on it.
And then the ship's already gone down.
Yeah. So it's a small crew going into this empty
ship.
Empty, you know, whatever. Yeah. But like that's where we get the alien movie from. Or that's where we get the alien-ing of it all. It could have just been left alone, but like they just had to go
check it out,
yeah. Kind of deal. The android, so good. Anyway, I've already probably given away too much, but that's basically the first 10 minutes. So maybe first five.
And this
10
one's supposed to be really scary, isn't it? Like
there's a lot of like
jump scares.
I don't get scared by alien movies. I don't think they're that scary. I don't think the alien, I think if I ran into one in real life, of course.
Yeah.
But if I ran into Scooby-Doo in real life, I'd be freaked out. You know, if I like,
Would you rather
kill Scooby-Doo if you ran into him?
I would. Yeah.
Your would you rather you gave us the other day was pretty good. Did you give that one to Mike?
Oh, no, I haven't. You can answer this in the comments if you want, but yeah. Would you rather be trapped on a space station or spaceship with one alien xenomorph or trapped in the city you currently live in with one Terminator chasing you down? They're both trying to get you.
After me specifically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tough. And I thought about this because...
I think I'm going to have to go with the ship just because of the collateral damage. You eliminate some of the possibility of collateral damage.
That's smart.
That's a very good point. That's good logic.
I would probably pick the spaceship because I would get an opportunity to go to space.
See, and I chose the spaceship because, A, this is an extremely small town, and B, there's not very many Brennans in the world.
Yeah, he'd be able to find...
I'd be found quick.
Be easy to find.
Yeah,
Terminator
I'd be found
would
quick.
Find him quick.
Yeah.
Plus,
Michael, I could just hide anywhere.
Yeah. Michael and Andy, yeah, those are pretty common
but
names.
But, dude, Terminator, he likes to shoot first.
Yeah.
And he will get a big-ass fucking machine gun and just tear up homes to find you, right?
Yeah, so I'd be dead in the first 5 minutes of that movie.
100%. Yes. Me too.
Alien, I'd have maybe at least 30 minutes.
Come with me if you want to live. I don't know you, man. Yeah. And then I run away. Yeah. What the fuck is this freak telling me? Come with me if I want to live. What the fuck is that all about? Oh, God, Andy, you're freaking out. All right, calm down. And then,
I think you would accept it. I think with all the movies you've seen and how you live your life, I think if some random person was like, hey, come with me now. You need to live. Like, you have to, Andy Rice, come with me now. You'd be like, all right, let's go. Where are we going?
Like, what wormhole did you come through?
What universe are you from?
But now you're opening up. If we do have any obsessive fans out there that want to stalk me and kidnap me,
all I got to do is come to your door.
Andy Rice, I'm here to protect you. Got to come to me.
Yeah.
I did once.
Which is great. I hope we have a fan like that.
You're. Jesus, I don't. Well.
I think you do have one fan like that, don't you, Andy?
Well, I don't know. We're not getting into anything. I don't know what you're implying, but I don't want to get into it right now.
You don't want a Selena situation?
Oh, no, I don't want a Selena situation. I don't know what that... So, like, I don't
biggest
have any
fan
housemates.
That killed her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it her housemate or was it a fan?
It was a fan.
The head of her fan club.
Yeah, head of her fan club killed her, yeah.
Jesus. I did once completely ignore what would have been a movie scene worth of terror and panic that should have pointed me in the wrong direction. I was driving once, and it was weirdly... I was on what would have been a regularly busy street, and there was nobody kind of on the street except for a dude who was running. So I'm driving, and this guy's running the opposite direction. He's waving me down, and he's telling me to go the other way. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is all about. And I maybe should turn around. I keep going. A woman is running, and she's also telling me to turn around and go away. I didn't. I just kept going, and I went home. Nothing happened. To this day, no idea what the fuck happened. I just went home.
See, I thought you were going to talk about the delivery night when you came across the person in the street.
Which one?
When you were on your way back
from
a delivery.
Which one? This is Bullhead.
I guess that's true.
Oh, shit. The dead body?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's what I thought you were going to talk about.
Oh, God. That was a rough one.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me of that. That was... It's not often you almost double run over a corpse. Yeah, that was... Oh,
almost
Jesus.
Double run over. Did you run it over one time?
No.
Yeah, you never told us about the first time, Andy.
I meant it got ran over by someone else. I would have been the second run over.
But what really happened that night, Andy?
Oh, dude, that was so trashy, though. I remember pulling up behind him and then going, oh, shit, that's a body, and there's a guy. But I was on delivery, so I was like, someone else will stop. I kept going. But I remember the guy going, oh, no. Oh, God, what have I done?
I think it's okay to stop and call the police, Andy.
Yeah.
In that situation, they'll just make another pizza. Just call the store and let them know.
Yeah.
It's okay. You can stop.
I wasn't the only driver. Okay. I didn't want to lose any deliveries. For being honest. Look, I'm sure it was taken care of. Here's my thought. That guy who ran over the person.
Called the cops already.
He had a choice to make, and I didn't want to have any part in it. If he drove off and wanted to live the I just ran over somebody and left life, who am I to stop him from doing that? The deed was done, right? I don't think this dude getting out of his car and going, oh, God, what have I done? Did it intentionally. He wasn't trying to kill probably a homeless guy that collapsed in the street and then he ran him over, right? So.
Yeah. Well, the way people walk on sidewalks here, he probably stepped off as the guy was going off. And that's probably what happened.
Yeah. I had a chick, I think, intentionally try to suicide herself by car when I was coming around one of the corners. Like, she made eye contact with me and then started to step out. And I was like, what the? And I had to go into the other lane. And as I did it, there was a car behind me who also he had to brake because I, like, got into the lane or whatever. He pulls up next to me. We're at the red light. He rolls down his window. He looks at me. He's like, what the fuck was that? And I was like, not at me, but I was
just
like,
a situation.
I was like, I think she was trying to. And he's like, I think she was trying to. And we're like, whoa. And we're both kind of like freaked out because it was a near like eye contact right at the on a corner too. So like as I'm coming around and she just as she makes eye and step, I'm like, holy shit. My heart was racing.
I bet.
Oh. Anyway, thanks, Mike. That wasn't what I meant. That wasn't my dramatic thing I wanted to talk about. Yeah.
Mine,
yeah.
My recommendation thing is Dinner Time Live. And
Dinner Time Live.
Yes. It's familiar with David Chang?
The name sounds familiar.
He's my friend from Golden State Farms when we worked in our firm security business. David Chang.
David Chang is a chef, Momofuku chef.
Okay.
Yeah. He did a lot of television.
Is he a lot of guest judges and guest hosts and stuff on Cooking Channel stuff?
Back in the day, I think he did. This is on Netflix, Dinner Time Live. And what it is, it's a show done live, real time. Like,
oh, okay.
It's on Tuesdays.
Wow.
I watch it recorded because I work Tuesdays, but it's literally he goes in and does like three or four courses in an hour live. for usually two celebrity guests.
That's
a lot
cool.
of comedians, a couple boxers, just different people.
So it's like the cooking with Bert Kreischer's podcast,
like,
but a real chef.
But a real chef.
Not rubbing his nose every 5 seconds.
Yes.
And all that.
Washing his hands and everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's gross. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something that's a funny one, too. But, yeah,
but
that sounds
this
awesome.
Is much better than that.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's called Dinnertime Live.
Dinnertime Live.
There's two seasons now. They're in their second season. They're doing holiday stuff right
now. Oh, nice.
So it's just a fantastic show
to
watch.
Yeah,
sounds
great.
It's my wife, who doesn't even cook. I mean, she'll frozen whatever, but she doesn't really cook. Loves it too.
Now, are they
it's,
like
because it's entertaining as well as
are they like traditional party. Like fine dining recipes or just like
some of them? Like okay. I've seen now some of the most amazing things, like white truffles just shaved like forever.
Yeah,
like and I've seen a tub of caviar as
okay.
big as that chair right there.
Jeez. Oh, Jesus,
it's
that's
big
insane.
Around as that chair,
yeah.
not as tall. But like and eating the whole thing, two people eating the whole damn thing on there.
Wow. Would you like, now, Brendan? Would you challenge yourself to try to make the meal at the same time as they're cooking?
You
it?
Can't. You
I
can't.
Would try to write the recipe down and replicate it myself.
Yes,
like it's, you would want to do it on your own time. Like it's when I go to cook something I haven't cooked before.
You can do it as fast as you
yeah.
Can,
I watch no multiple people cook the same dish different ways, so I can kind of see different techniques, different styles, different seasonings that they use. So that way, I can kind of figure out what works for my palate and what I like. Like anytime like Thanksgiving's coming up,
yeah.
and I'm gonna be smoking my turkey, and I've done it the last 3 years, but I'm still gonna, for the week and a half leading up to it, gonna be just watching videos of different people doing different methods.
That's your turkey porn.
It is. It is. It's yeah. It's anytime I smoke something, and then when I do brisket, when I do anything, like it's
you just.
I sit
you
there
just
and I
smoked meat porn, and you just sit yes. back and you just go.
Yeah. Well, and I'm more like, okay, how am I going to execute this? Like, what am I going to do? Because I want it to turn out great. I don't want it to be mediocre. I want it to be fantastic. I want people to be like, yeah, that's the best fucking turkey I've had. Like, you know, that's my goal. Yeah. I want to be the only one disappointed in it. Like,
that's one of the reasons this show's so good, because that's the way he is a
okay.
lot. He's like, he wants the people to enjoy.
Yeah.
That are there as guests. It's not. It's so less about the cooking and more about
them
the interactions
the
and them enjoying it.
That's cool.
It's a very cool show.
That
fun
sounds
to watch.
Fun. Yeah.
It's a fun. Just sit down and watch. Brainless.
Yeah. That sounds good. I like that.
It's
that's
really good.
Did you got a wreck?
Did you got a wreck, man? Yeah, speaking of Netflix, I watched the Mr. McMahon documentary on there, and I recommend it. It was pretty good. It was enjoyable. A lot of shit. They don't
go into what an asshole he is?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They go into it, and they kind of go into how blended the Mr. McMahon character is with reality and how it's kind of just him, but more dramatic, obviously. They lightly touched on the sexual allegations, because it kind of happened while they were making the documentary. And they don't really touch on too much after the fact. Because I think now he's actually back working with the WWE again. Like, cause I think he left twice. And then I think he came back again now. Because I think he got acquitted of everything. Or I think all of that got settled somehow, some way. Whether
it's called millions of dollars.
Yeah, paid him out, exactly.
Yeah, it's called owning WWE.
Hush money,
yeah.
Paying hush money.
Is Stephanie McMahon his real daughter?
Yes.
Okay,
Stephanie
really
and
married,
Shane.
And she's really married to Triple H.
Yes.
But it wasn't the storyline.
It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't the storyline,
but,
yeah.
But it's so, that stuff is all so close to reality of those.
And that's what the documentary touched on a lot, is how he revolutionized it by blending reality with these storylines and making these storylines seem, you know, like to where it's hard to tell what's real and what's fake. Because
that's
people,
heightened reality.
Yeah, well, it's because people know that the action is not necessarily fake, but it's choreographed. So they know that that's choreographed, but they can't tell the difference between these characters and the people playing the characters.
I mean, I can.
You can, yes, of course.
Sometimes they get really mad at each other in real life.
In real life,
you know,
yeah.
And then they kind of write it in.
Yeah.
And in the middle of a match, they'll get mad at each other and give each other receipts.
Yeah.
Smack
yeah.
each other for real. And
for
shit.
Real, exactly, yeah. But
Mr. Man, and that's on Netflix?
On Netflix. It was great. It's I think it's like a five-part thing.
That was a one thing.
No.
You shouldn't complain, Andy. You're going to watch it at 4X
yeah.
speed.
I mean, I worked my way through it for like a week. I was falling asleep to it and kind of just picking up where I left off. And, you know, because I watched during the Attitude Era. It was kind of like when I watched wrestling when I was a kid.
Me too. Stone Cold.
Yeah, The Rock.
Undertaker.
Yep.
Rock.
Mankind.
Big Show.
Yeah. And then afterwards.
So funny to see y'all talk about wrestling. Yeah.
Love it. I love it. Because
I'm from the era before that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there are two eras before that.
Your Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior.
That was the height of mine. The one before that, even, is where I started when I was a kid.
That was when it was, like, smaller.
Yeah, it was smaller, and it was a lot of locals.
Yeah, it'd be like the attorney, Jim Norton.
Well, they touched on like when he first took over for his dad, like how they were regional. There was different wrestling leagues, and they were all regional. And then Vince McMahon was like,
because the region that I was in down in Dallas
was Von Erichs.
Was all the Von Erichs. That whole region was run by the Von Erichs.
And he took over everything.
Yeah, and he kind of blended everything.
If there's a show, I believe it's called Heels?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, starring, I watched the first season of this. It stars the guy that played Arrow and another dude, and they play, they're two brothers whose father dies, and they take over the wrestling business, and it's a local, regional kind of wrestling that they're trying to compete with bigger ones, like trying to compete with other ones.
Yeah.
And they're, it's like one brother's coming back into the fold, the other one is the one that's like, loves it and, you know, breathes. You know, he's like the guy that the responsible one, and it's a great, great show. I loved the first season. I forgot they made more, but I liked it a lot. It's dramatic, it's good.
Well, you can also go back on Peacock and watch any WrestleMania you want or any.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they're all on there. I started like after the documentary, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna look on Peacock, see what they have. And I went back and watched like WrestleMania 2000. I was like, I remember this one. Like, you know, I mean, I got like maybe 30, 40 minutes in, and I was like,
you're not doing a 4-hour WrestleMania.
No. I skipped a few matches and stuff. I'm like, I don't even remember
any of
these.
I'm a Royal Rumble guy.
Royal Rumble was always fun.
That's just more my thing. Yeah. I liked playing Royal Rumble when it came to the. Because
it was cool to have be all those guys in the ring at one time.
And the N64 version of the Royal Rumble was awesome.
Yeah.
Because you're just tossing motherfuckers out of the ring. 20, 30 people. Loved it.
Yeah.
It's so funny now, though, because y'all have grown up the whole time knowing it's fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys thought it was real.
We thought it was real when we were kids.
Yeah.
Because they would never. Have you ever seen the, I think it was on, not Jimmy Kimmel, but one of the late night shows. One of the wrestlers go
Andy
on.
Andy Kaufman?
Yes. That, were you, how old were
you? Was
it been
the one?
I wasn't
when
old.
That happened.
Andy Kaufman wrestled a dude and got his ass.
Well, there was also an interview with Hulk Hogan and Mr. T where they actually hit the interviewer because he was calling it fake.
Right.
And they choked him out.
Yeah.
And then he fell and hit his head and he was bleeding.
Oh,
no,
shit.
He sued the fuck out of him because they were playing it off as real back then.
Yeah.
They were literally really trying to convince people that it was real.
But there's definitely real athleticism in it.
Athleticism is amazing.
Could be a fucking wrestler. Yeah. I have a friend, Shane, who did independent wrestling, indie wrestling.
Yeah.
Backyard
shit?
Yeah. Well, no, not backyard. There's backyard, and then there's independent wrestling. And the independent wrestling is more of the regional stuff that you were talking about, where you go to venues that they set up. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, the Dwarf Wrestling League is an independent wrestler kind of deal, where you're paying for your own shit. And but you get paid per gig or whatever. So, but you have to train. You have to be good enough. We saw David Arquette work his way up.
Yeah.
It's kind of through with WCW. You Cannot Kill.
That would have been kind of independent stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Except that really shitty one where he gets all fucked up.
That's the backyard shit.
Yeah. Which is also a fun wrestling game, or at least it was a wrestling game. I don't know if it was fun, but awesome. Next week. We are continuing our holiday tradition by getting into, now that we've done some traveling, what comes next? It's family visiting, and that means Christmas vacation. So Christmas vacation is next week. Join us then. And as always, thank you for coming along for the ride. With us as always is Brennan. Shipley up to Boston.
Why'd you go fast?
I don't know why I went fast. Just added a little pizzazz.
Have a good night.
What's that?
Have a good night.
And we have Michael. I wish I could stuff him up and throw him in an oven sometimes like a turkey. Larson.
Have a good night, everyone.
And I'm your host, Andy Rice. We've been fried. Brennan's turkey is going to be smoked. And I'm going to be Andy forever. Good night.